when my day begins. Comb my hair as I stare out at the trees, the way they hang on the street. It's nothing new, same old view, same old me, and the same old wonderful you. Just trying to make it through. But if I listen, I can feel the rhythm of the day to day. Always something to discover in the minutes that are slipping away. Cause life is so beautiful, every day a new beginning. And when the day's complete, we'll go back to sleep and see what tomorrow will bring for you and me. I know that we might ask for answers time will never let us have. We can't understand. Well, me myself, I don't mind taking life just one day at a time. Don't want to fall behind. And there's no use asking why, when all you really need is love and all you have is time. So beautiful. Life is so beautiful. Every day a new beginning. And when the day is complete, we'll go back to sleep and see what tomorrow will bring for you and me. Ooh.
A song called Life is Beautiful by Kristen Nelson from her CD that came out last year called Out of My Hands, which is also the name of actually the next track on that CD. She's among the many performers who are going to be at the Decatur celebration this weekend. It opens today and runs through Sunday, including lots of, it seems like a bunch of double platinum award-winning bands and Grammy nominees, Grammy winners. There's an American Idol finalist, Kacey Abrams, going to be there. So lots of things going on by people you may have heard of. I'm going to guess that Kristen might be a new name to you. Certainly is to me. She'd introduced herself to me a couple of times by email a while ago and caught up with her recently, and she happened to be playing at this scheduled to play at this event, and so I asked her to come in. So therefore, she's going to be joining us for the hour on the program today. The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and appreciate you joining us. Kristen is based in Decatur now, was formerly based in Spokane, Washington. Does that mean that's where you're from? That's where you're born?
Yeah, that's where my family is. So I started out, I was born in Utah, then we moved to Georgia, and then we moved to Washington when I started high school. So,
because you sound, when you walked in the building and said your first words, and now that you tell me what you just told me, you sound more like you're from Georgia than from any of those other places.
I get that all the time. Yeah. I know. I guess it just stayed with me as a little.
What length of time were you there?
We were there about 5 years, and I was 10 until about 15 that we moved.
I wonder if people would say that those are the formative language years.
I
don't
know. There it
slightest
is.
Idea. So just following the family around?
Yeah. You mean since we moved to Washington?
Well, just that whole round trip, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, all around the country. And so now I'm in the Midwest, and it's, totally different to me, and it's a fun experience.
What brought you to Decatur?
My husband works here, so.
I knew you walked in with a husband, so I wondered if he was to blame.
He is.
So did you meet in Spokane?
We met out at school in Utah, actually. And, I was just working there, and he got his master's there and then said, I want to join the family business in Decatur. And I said, all right, if it makes you happy. And so now here I am.
And what I know when I asked if you had any gigs scheduled, you said, well, not too much going on, but there is this one this weekend. Were you, before you came out here, did you find lots of places to play? Is this a change for you, just trying to get re-known?
Yeah. I mean, I just released my first EP right before we moved out here, and so it was kind of a bummer. I was starting to get a little bit of a base there in Salt Lake City, but, then we moved out here, and I'm like, what is there? But as I've been looking around, I mean, there are some great venues, and I've always just kind of been finding little coffee shops and restaurants and things. But now that I have a CD, I feel a little more motivated to get out there and, get my name going and play my music.
So EP is the one I'm holding?
Yeah.
It's kind of long for an EP.
I couldn't quite call it an
like
album.
I'm thinking like three or five songs, but this has seven on it. So that's
seven. I don't. What would you call it?
I don't know. I was trying to remember this morning, actually, what EP even means.
Yeah, and there's like LP, too. Do you know what that is?
I do. I'm in the age of the LP.
Oh, okay.
LP meant long playing, which in other words, what people call vinyl.
Okay,
Mike Pritchard is saying in my ear, extended play, that's what EP means, which seems, that seems kind of ironic because it's a short CD.
Oh.
So these, a long playing record.
Okay.
Which was as opposed to, and Mike can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but as I understand it, as opposed to a shorter playing record, which was 78 RPMs, so it went faster, therefore you couldn't put as much music on it. Long playing record was 33 and a third RPMs. And so you could get more music on it.
Okay.
Mike, is that right? Oh, then there were 45s, that's right. But typically 45s would only have one song on a side.
Oh, wow.
So that's a really short. There's your vinyl, old vinyl lesson.
Oh, I just learned yesterday you can with vinyl now you can use like your cremated ashes and put them into vinyl.
I read that yesterday also. Was this something just hit?
It's like I think it just came out. That's
an interesting idea. Yeah. Put whatever songs you want on the record made out of yourself and hand it out to all your friends or have somebody hand it out to
your
friends.
Remember me. Yeah.
And I think the bit said, careful who you choose
to handle it.
Yeah, something to that effect. Ah, so you sent a little bio to me, and the It sounds almost kind of pathetic, right at the beginning of what you wrote, where you got interested in music when you were young from Children's Choir and musical theater, but your voice was hoarse, and so you didn't couldn't sing very much, and so nobody ever picked you to sing anywhere.
Yeah, it was pretty pathetic.
Was this traumatizing?
No, because I always wanted to be a singer, and somehow I always knew, like, I just always thought I was better than other people, and I mean, I really wasn't, but I felt like I was just as good as, like, the soprano singers, but so many times, I remember several times, like, being stuck with, like, the you know, piano player, and she'd just be, like, banging a note, trying to get me to stretch my range, and it was just, like, it was pretty frustrating, but as I mentioned in the bio, that's, you know, kind of what motivated me to start doing my own thing, and I started, a little basement theater when I was about 10 or 11 and started writing my own plays that I could star in and write my own songs that I could sing solo. But it stayed with me for a long time until one day I realized I just had to push it, just had to keep pushing it. It's kind of worked out, I guess, that raspiness.
Well, let's hear what you sound like live a year or so after the CD we just heard. What do you want to do?
I'll start with Holding My Breath.
Which is also a tune that is on that CD.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was all worth fighting for, until I realized I had lost the war. The reckless craze, the endless maze of loving you. I should have known that when you walked away, that you were never coming back someday. You moved along and I hung on to the chance of us finding a way. But I'll stop holding my breath. Been playing this game too long. And I'll start reading the signs. I'm wasting my time. You'll never change your mind.
Kristen Nelson live on Live and Local. The song's called Holding My Breath. You can find it on her CD, which is called Out of My Hands, which one could find how?
Online. I have a website. It's Kristen's Box, kristensmusicbox.com. And then I'm on Facebook, too, and Bandcamp. So through there, you can either order a physical copy or download a digital.
Kristensmusicbox.com, and that's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the usual.
Yeah.
The usual way.
The right way, yeah.
Oh, the right way. I say that to people when they ask me how to spell my last name. I say the right way, which is no E-Y. It's just a Y, which is neither here nor there. This song about love, other songs about love, and I finally maybe get to ask this question because many people, which is to say just about every singer-songwriter, does write some number of songs about love.
Mm-hmm.
And I always often do ask, was this written for a particular person?
Yeah.
But since we've already said you walked in here with a husband.
Yeah, we don't want to dig that up. Yeah.
I wonder, does he have anything to do with this song?
Well, he came in right after this song.
Right,
so
after
he was
song.
The positive response to this.
To this song.
This pathetic song.
Good. Well, then I can ask my follow-up question, which is, how do you, if you even need to, go back to where you were when you wrote this song when you found the guy you want?
Mm-hmm.
Does the song have the same meaning? Can you sing it the same way as when you first did?
When we were recording the CD, I really started getting pretty good at conjuring up those kind of feelings where I would get to the point where I was crying and I couldn't record anymore. And, you know, it was pretty cool. That's one thing I love about songwriting is that you do kind of capture time in it. And if you allow yourself to sing it like you intended it, you know, and if you write it in a real, like, spirit of honesty, then it can come out, you know, when you want to remember it or when you need it or, you know. So I guess, yeah, sometimes it is like that. I can go there.
But I've heard from, I'm thinking of one opera singer in particular, Nathan Gunn, who lives around here. And I remember asking him in this studio how he managed his emotion in opera, or for that matter, in other kinds of singing that he does, where you really can't go as deeply as you might want. Otherwise, you couldn't.
You can't go through it.
You can't do the song, yeah.
So it's true. You kind of have to keep it at arm's length. And, you know, I guess if I wanted to just be alone with myself and cry, you know. But if I'm performing, I do have to kind of keep a grip on it.
Because if you sit on stage,
you
know, let's say you were doing it live and sit on stage and start crying, nobody else is going to feel what you're feeling because they can't hear the song.
No, but, the idea is that you can still convey that. You know, that message that maybe they makes them cry, you know, that you can kind of communicate something universal in the process, you know.
Going back a little bit to the part that you know, sort of sad to consider, you know, when you had to open up your own theater in your basement because nobody was giving you roles. But you just told me that you're actually sort of back into theater in a way right now.
Yeah, in a way. Just recently I started writing, composing songs for a children's theater, which is really, you know, what I love to do. I grew up listening to lots of children's songs, like Mr. Rogers, and, you know, I love that. And then did a lot of my own kind of children's theater stuff. But that's, you know, it's a totally different experience doing that than, like, sitting around writing my own music. You know, it helps to have, she kind of gives me a title, and I have to kind of put words around it, and it's actually a lot easier for me to do that.
And she is?
Oh, Rachel Nelson. No relation, but she is the owner of a company called Pocket Full of Plays. And
Is this Indicator?
It's no, it's actually based in Colorado, Grand some Junction.
Somewhere in
Grand Junction. Yeah.
Somewhere in
anyway. Yeah, so you can, you know, go online and kind of order children's musicals that way, and it'll come with kind of the whole set, all the package deal that you need to kind of get a children's play going.
And how did she find you, or did you find her?
I'm on Craigslist. I was looking for something to do, I guess, a long time ago, and I'd forgotten that I sent, you know, my information, and I heard from her, and she was like, I'm desperate. I need somebody. Can you still do it? And I sent her my songs, and she was like, all right. And so we actually get along really well. We work, you know, she likes my stuff, and I feel confident I can do it, so it's good.
Is this So this is something called Pugly the Ugly Duck. Is this, yeah. Will this be the first of your collaboration?
It's the first one. So it's, yeah, it's been kind of stressful, but really fun. And, you know, it's kind of reminded me, like you're saying, about being a kid again and how much I love theater. And, you know, eventually I'd like to do my own thing, you know, like maybe do my own musicals again and stuff. So,
so you said do them again. So you did.
Reverting back to when I was 10.
So that long ago. Yeah. So that's really that from that long ago. You haven't done this sort of thing since you were 10.
No, not really. I mean, I've composed music and I've kind of messed around with, you know, sound and stuff like that. But
have you ended up being in theater, musical theater?
No, not really. I did theater all through high school and I loved it. But since then, I just, you know, I haven't found a good theater company. I've been too transient, I guess, so.
Is that something you would want to do, or
yeah,
just sitting by yourself with a guitar
really have
too
a theater
tempting?
Voice, you know, that's my thing.
You're not a belter.
Yeah, I mean, I am, but not in the classical sense. You know, where they typically that's what they're looking for. So, I still sing Broadway songs all the time by myself. But anyway, yeah, it's something that I dream about, but probably just keep to writing children's musicals.
You mentioned that you had a certain amount of inspiration from the singer Jewel.
Yeah.
And it just struck me. I looked at the official video for the song that you had mentioned.
Uh-huh.
You Were Meant for Me, which is a song I didn't happen to know, which doesn't mean much. But
yeah.
As soon as I saw the video, I recognized the guy in the video, who was a fellow named Steve Poltz, who is another singer-songwriter who happened to be sitting in the chair you're sitting
you're
in.
You're kidding.
Not that long ago. He shows up with some regularity at Sleepy Creek Vineyards, which is in Fairmount, a little way east of Urbana.
Awesome.
And that just sort of struck me. So there's a thread running through this studio, I think, somehow or another. So what was it about her that you found so inspiring? And do you still?
Yeah. And I originally heard it when I was in fifth grade, I think. And that song was just so emotional, and I liked that it was mostly just her and the guitar, and I, you know, it wasn't like the typical pop stuff. And, you know, during that time, a lot of some other singer-songwriters like Alanis Morissette were kind of coming to the scene. But I was really drawn to Jewel because, yeah, like I said, it was more folk, you know, expressive. I was a pretty dramatic girl, and so I liked the kind of drama that she kind of added to her music and the stories that she told with it. And but I really got turned on when I went to see her live when I was about 15, and I saw her play, and I was like, I want to do that. I have to do that. You know, I just identified so closely with that, and so I knew I'd probably never be that famous, but just anyway. So then that kind of got me.
So you didn't necessarily say to yourself, "I want to be famous." You just want to do what she's doing, or did
no.
you, or is was that and is that your goal? Everybody's got that goal
at
some level.
Yeah,
right?
Sure, fame, but I've always wanted to be heard. But as I kind of started doing the music route, you know, achieving that goal, I realized that I really needed something to say, and
first things first.
Yeah, sure. And so with songwriting, it's not so easy. You know, you start writing and it sounds so cliche and you sound like everybody else and you start saying the same messages that you don't really know if you believe in. And so I think that's why it's taken a while to finally release a CD, you know, for me, because my songs just weren't making the cut, you know, until recently, I guess.
Making the cut meaning your own cut.
Sure, yeah, my own. You know, feeling like I had enough originality of thought and style to put my name and put it out there, you know.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. Why don't you share another one with us?
Sure, I'd love to. This one is called Paris. Sorry, my
live radio.
I'm searching for my soul on a cobblestone road in downtown Paris, France. And I really can't tell if... Sorry.
all this way. Well, I guess I might be taking my chances, 'cause I've been walking for hours round the city, towers and hearing all the sounds of the nightlife. I've been watching the people praying in the cathedral, and I'm begging for a piece of their life. You know I'm begging for a piece of their life. But if Paris don't know what to do with my soul, then I guess I'll have to move along. 'Cause I can't stay down, go the whole world around till I find where I belong. I'm gonna find where I belong. I'm looking for love at a local jazz club, talking music with a brown-eyed man. And I really can't tell if it's going so well, but at any rate I'm digging the band. You know the people on TV make it look so easy, wonder why I can't figure it out. 'Cause I've been searching for so long for that certain someone who could show me what love is about. Won't you show me what it's all about? I can't stay down, go the whole world around till I find where I belong. I'm gonna find where I belong. I'm praying for night, lying under the pale blue stars. Sometimes I don't know why I even try when heaven feels so far. 'Cause I've been asking you questions with the best of intentions. Could you give an answer I can't hear? I've been walking in circles, I don't have any purpose, and I wonder what I'm doing here. Won't you tell me what I'm doing here? But if heaven don't know what to do with my soul, then I guess I'll have to move along. 'Cause I can't stay down, go the whole world around till I find where I belong. I'm gonna find where I belong. I'm gonna find where I belong.
Sorry, I struggled with that one.
That's okay. I always wonder how people hold songs in their head with you know, somebody who goes on, does a 2-hour and a half, 2-hour show, and at least on makes it seem like they never forget a
word. I haven't learned how to like cover it up yet.
make something up on the spot, right? Song called Paris, Kristen Nelson live in our studio. That's live radio. That's the way it goes. And Lord knows I stumble on enough things and on my side of the microphone here. Kristen's going to be at the Decatur celebration in downtown Decatur, which actually starts today and continues through Sunday. There's a very full schedule, which you can check out on the website. I just found it Googling Decatur celebration. It pops right up. In fact, that might even be the website. But she'll be there Saturday for two shows at 1 o'clock and at 3 o'clock on what's called the North Street Stage, I think.
Yeah, like North and State.
Yeah, exactly. Being followed by 60s, 70s, and 80s rock, it says here, from a group called Soul Purpose. That's S-O-U-L. And in the morning, a group called, well, there's a guitar riff-off competition. That's, I guess, on Friday. And a tribute to Springsteen, a band called Glory Days. That's Friday evening. So that's just a small sample of what else is going on at the festival. And if you want to be able to hear this show anytime you want, or any other show on our radio stations, meaning WYLL-FM and our companion WYLL-AM, you can now do it on your very own app, which is to say application for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. Just head to the App Store or Google Play and search for WYLL Radio. The app is free, won't cost you anything. And you can stream both stations. You can listen to past episodes of some of your favorite programs, including Live and Local, and a lot more. So if you want to take advantage of that, feel free. It's free. You said, Kristen, you were, before you could actually get out there and do what Jewel does, mm-hmm. you had needed to have something to say. And you also told me the other day, whenever, on email that this particular CD, which is your only CD so far, mm-hmm. Was sort of an experiment. It's a way to try to find a voice or play with different voices that you have at the moment. And this song that you just sang seemed to be perhaps a little bit about that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That soul-searching kind of idea.
So where do you find things to say?
I don't know. It seems to get harder, you know, the older I get. I don't know. I think I'm not, like, that old, but I feel like I'm a lot older than I was when I was a teenager and everything was so, you know, emotional and dramatic. And but I guess it has its benefits because, you know, I mean, to me that just sounds like a lot of fluffy stuff now, like teenage scribbles that I wrote. But now it's I'm inspired by when I hear a good songwriter, you know, when I feel like, you know, they communicate a bigger idea. And I look at people, for example,
of songwriters you found particularly inspiring.
Well, I mean, I kind of reverted back when I was working on this EP album thing. I reverted back to the 60s and 70s. You know, I really got into Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and, you know, that kind of group that they were so honest in their writing, and maybe they weren't like the most amazing singers, but they you know, were so expressive and they had their own style. And I get inspired when people, you know, kind of got their own thing, and I want to do my own thing. And
so are you inspired more by the writing, their writing, than
maybe
by their vocal styling?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just that they're able to express, you know, it's like they've found a way to really get it out, whatever it is that's inside, you know. And I feel like I have a lot inside, but it's not always easy to express it. And, you know, music I've found is like the best way for me to do that. But it's not always, you know, it doesn't come so easy. You have to work at, finding, you know, your style. And I think they found it. Paul Simon, I think, is another good example. Bob Dylan.
So you went back to a generation or two that's, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I know how old you look, mm-hmm. and you don't look old enough to have grown up with that music.
No.
So you went back to seek it, I mean, it seems
like. And it was really fun to find it. You know, my parents didn't really listen to a lot of music. You know, they liked music, but it was like, you know, I mean, I was in college and I'm finding these people for the first time and I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, this is what I needed, you know, to keep moving as a songwriter, you know, like just a little more depth, you know, a little more, I don't know, I felt like I could relate with them and keep moving. So, yeah, I'm always kind of looking for new, but they seem to be old, you know.
What did you study in college?
English. I'm still finishing it, actually, my degree, so.
English literature?
English.
Or just
writing literature. I haven't really, you know, honed in on what I'm doing with it yet, but I mean, I've wanted to be a creative writer. You know, creative writing is fun for me. I never really clicked in with a music education or music, you know, degree. I just don't think that way. So I think I went the writing route.
Well, I asked you the same question. You said you heard our show on Monday about the Carlisle Floyd out the cold, sassy tree, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him, which because he said he studied English writing in college, as did I, for that matter.
Oh.
And so the question was, what kind of writing? I mean, mm-hmm. you said you wanted to be creative writer, but are you kind of focusing on fiction or nonfiction or?
Well, lately I've gotten really inspired by Flannery O'Connor. You know, it's fiction, but it's still so true to life. You know, like it's how fiction should be. It's kind of like songwriting, I guess. You're kind of expressing the truth. And I've been pretty drawn to that. That and poetry. You know, I think it'd be fun to write short stories or a book of poems, you know, eventually. It'd be cool. But same with, like I said, writing children's musicals, you know, like writing dialogue and things like that. It'd be pretty fun.
Well, the songs that I asked you to send me lyrics, which I don't usually ask people, mostly because I never think of it, because I don't hold lyrics in my head very well. So I sometimes like to see them and just read them ahead of time. And yours strike me as having a clear poetic lilt to them, and in mostly the rhyming sort of way. You know, there's other types of things. you rhyme, but some songs differently from others, but they have a certain rhythm. And so I wondered if you think of, again, a question I've asked other songwriters, if you think of your songs as poetry at all.
I write poetry separate from lyrics, so I don't see them the same.
How are they different?
I don't know. They just, I guess I can't sing my poems.
So if you write something down and you can't sing it, it's a poem. If you write something down and you can sing it, it's a song.
Yeah, and I've tried to adapt. I actually just recently tried to adapt a poem. And it kind of becomes like those early, like those 60s troubadours type of sounds, you know, like those long, you know, ongoing ballads of, you know, which I've never really wanted to write, you know. And so I kind of just keep it lyrical instead of poetic.
Well, and I mean, I don't know what kind of poetry you write, but I can imagine that certain types of poetry would require a different kind of melodic writing.
Yeah.
And I imagine some of them just flat out wouldn't be melodic at all.
Yeah, and you don't want to limit yourself. So I do, I definitely get in a different mindset when I'm writing poetry. I'm usually reading a lot of poetry when I write poetry, and I listen to a lot of music when I write songs. So it's kind of different channels.
So it does, so some pretty direct inspiration, sounds like. Yeah. Compartmentalization in your brain somehow?
You mean like with my songwriting or?
Yeah, where, you know, let's say half of Kristen is doing the poetry thing, and then you have to leave that half to do the other.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I feel like I'm always, though, in the back of my mind doing the songwriting thing. It's always, you know, like this constant riddle that I'm always trying to crack, you know, put together, draw ideas into. But yeah, I definitely separate those two things.
You said that you're working to make this EP to be a full-length CD.
Yeah, album, official or something.
Album.
Yeah.
I mean, CD is really the medium anymore. How's that going?
It's going all right, you know. It's actually kind of been difficult. I've had mixed feelings about continuing and combining because I'm afraid that the second part is going to be different, you know, probably noticeably different than this EP.
Do you have any songs that are likely to be on the part we don't have yet?
Yeah, I do. I've got one.
Is that going to interrupt your rhythm at all?
No, it should be fine. Let
me make sure. This is Kristen Nelson, who is live with us, as you could no doubt tell. She's going to be playing at the Decatur Celebration. Twice, actually, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So if you miss one or only hear part of one of the first one, you can stick around and hear it again. Or will they likely be the same shows?
Yeah. So only come to one. So.
All right.
I don't know. I'll try to mix it up. Okay, here's this song. And I'd like to explain the context a little bit, maybe afterwards or before, whatever. I'll play it first. Falling in love is the easy part. Keeping it up is a little bit harder. Golden days fade away. Everything becomes routine. People go by, see their happy faces, taking your mind to forgotten places, and you find yourself asking yourself, maybe there's something greener. Oh no, don't do it, don't tell yourself a lie. Go home,
now the littlest touch leaves a bigger space, and you wanna be close, but you wanna be free. You cop somewhere in between. So many roles that you might have taken, now you never know. Maybe you were mistaken, and you find yourself asking yourself, maybe there's something greener.
Sometimes I wish I had a camera into the mind of the person that's sitting across from me in this studio, because there are about three times in that song where this little smile popped up on your face, and I wanted to know, what was that about? What happened right there?
I wish I could
mind?
Tell you.
Because I can't tell you where they were. I won't remember, but you know, I don't know if it was some sweet thought that,
yeah,
that popped up, or... Oh, man, I'm glad I remembered that line.
Yeah, probably both.
Well, you know, we said earlier that your husband is actually out here,
yeah,
and that some of the songs, like the first one you sang on the show, was about a love before him.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like it could possibly be
more
love
present
with him.
Yeah,
you
yeah
know, is this advice to yourself, to him, or
yeah
to somebody else?
Yeah. You know, well, I was, so, like, going back to kind of, like, the inspiration thing, you know, this song I wrote one morning when I couldn't sleep, and I came downstairs, and I wasn't, like, particularly mad or anything. I mean, I was just getting on Facebook, and I found this article about love and how, you know, it's common to think that if love is really meant to be, then it should be easier, you know, just be, you know, people kind of have that perception, and when things get tough, they start second guessing, you know, maybe I don't really love you, or, you know, maybe this wasn't right. And so, you know, we haven't been married all that long, and so I know those, you know, when things have gotten tough, it's like you really, you know, you're committed, and it's like, you know, it can be easy to think, oh, life was so easy when I was single, and I wish I was free and everything. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of reward, being committed, I guess, and sticking through the hard times. You know, it makes it, you know, it's worth a second try.
Well, it sounded, you know, that if you just took the text by itself,
yeah,
which I don't have in front of me, mm-hmm, or at least if I do, I
don't think so.
Pull it out. You might get one impression that it's about a challenge,
mm-hmm,
of love, but listening to the tune,
yeah, yeah,
you get a different impression.
Kind of a paradox, yeah. I think was
that intentional?
Kind of, you know, like, I don't know. A lot of my songs come out that way, you know, like they're kind of about more serious stuff, but I have a hard time just using a lot of, I don't know, sad chords, because it gets depressing, and I don't like to be depressed. I don't like to get myself depressed with music, you know. So, yeah, I guess it is, like you said, maybe for myself, just kind of something to stay above it.
As opposed to literary irony?
Yeah.
Going
right
back to the English
right
major,
yeah,
bit?
Exactly, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I do use a lot of irony, you know, when it comes to melody and lyrics. And then again, just with lyrics themselves, it's kind of like Yeah, it's kind of a riddle, you know, listening to a song. I like it to be that way, you know, challenge for your mind to kind of read into and figure it out and see it from different angles. So.
Irony is one of those words that when I was an English major that I never did quite understand.
Yeah.
And I guess I still don't. If somebody asked me to define irony, I couldn't do it. In fact, now I feel like I want to go look it up and see what exactly we're talking about. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the show today. My guest is Kristen Nelson, who's a singer-songwriter at one point based in Spokane, Washington. She is now in Decatur, Illinois, and she's going to be playing along with a whole lot of other people at the Decatur Celebration. She'll be there for two shows on Saturday afternoon, and a lot of other people there actually starting today. The whole celebration starts today, although the music schedule doesn't start till tomorrow, looks like. So it runs the 2nd through the 4th. And our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Norrison preferred dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with a floor. What made you decide to involve other instrumentalists in your first record?
Kind of curiosity, I guess. You know, like I'd never played with a band before. And like I said, I was kind of trying to find my style, find my sound. And like, yeah, I guess I just didn't know what would happen. So it was really fun to kind of to play jam with other musicians that could just kind of pick up on my vibe, and we'd go, and that, you know, that was kind of how the process worked. Having done that now, you know, I can kind of more easily visualize or hear, you know, instruments with my newer songs. You know, I can kind of decide, yeah, no, I'd like this one to stay more raw, or I could totally hear a, you know, guitar solo on that or something like that. So
it seems like the more common trend, and I might just be completely mistaken about this, but at least it seems to me that singer-songwriters are more often likely to do their first record or two just by themselves.
Yeah.
And then add things later, and then maybe go back to their roots, as they sometimes like to say, and then jettison the band.
Right.
Why not just start out?
I don't know. I guess, you know, I met the guy who produced it, recorded it, Clark Jackman, who's just awesome, a great engineer. And he kind of got me excited about these musicians he knew. And, you know, kind of, you know, we really jived, you know, Clark and I. We knew that kind of had the same concept for my music. And so, you know, he was kind of just helping me add the colors to the palette. But yeah, I think maybe in my case it might be the opposite. I might kind of trickle back to something more raw, you know, the next time around, something more acoustic. Kind of like, you know, like I said, like Jewel, that her original CD was just much more acoustic, and I like that. You know, I think they both work.
Well, you have a lot on the EP, and there's 7 songs, as we said earlier, and each one does have a different sound to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, pin down the genre, I guess. But
I guess it would be really hard to say, so what did you learn from this first go-round?
Yeah,
hard to say specifically, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess I don't know specifically one thing. I know a lot of things, but, I mean, I definitely learned. Like, there are things that I listen to that we recorded that I'm like, no, I don't, you know, I would definitely not do that. And so I think the next CD is going to be different.
Any idea when it's likely to be available?
I'm hoping next year. And I'm working on my own studio, trying to get my own home studio set up. I was looking around this studio looking at your soundproofing and
I'm looking to see what you can steal.
It's definitely no.
Mike, look out.
No.
See what she takes along.
No. Trying to make my house a little more soundproof. And so hopefully that'll help me generate, you know, be more creative and get some music out a little quicker. And, hopefully next year.
Well, a lot of records are made in home studios.
Yeah, more and more. I mean, they have amazing software and, you know, things you can do, just one person, one man band.
And make trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and still sound really good. So I think it'd be fun to play with and see how it goes.
By the way, listeners, I was just checking myself on something. I'm not exactly sure why I've been saying that the Decatur celebration starts today. I think it does open tomorrow. So it's just the 2nd through the 4th. I'm not sure why I said it starts today. But I just checked two sources while we were talking a second ago, and it does run the 2nd through the 4th. So my correction, in case somebody was planning to run out tomorrow, today. But in any event, what do you want to do next? New or old?
Oh, let's do old, I guess. We'll go, since we were talking about depressing music, we can do a depressing song.
I don't know if that's really what we were talking about.
I guess that's what I heard.
Music, words that go one direction and a tune that goes melody
another,
that maybe goes another, or at least puts a different slant on the words.
It's just kind of what comes out when the song comes together. This one is called Man in the Moon.
To the moon last night, like you were face to face. I guess it must be kind of nice to know you're not the only man in space. Ever wonder how it feels to be a man made out of stone? Ever wonder why it hurts to be alone? I wasn't happy when you came back home later than you said, so I didn't kiss you like I didn't care. Hit the light. Sorry when you're not. Ever worrying about the devil in your heart? Ooh. Ooh.
Man in the Moon. That was one of the ones you sent me the lyrics for, and I read through that, and I really liked the image of the rainbow on the ground.
Yeah.
Lying in a parking lot and a car running over it somehow or another.
it's poetic, but it's kind of like, gasoline or oil, I guess, that you see in a parking lot. It kind of creates that image. It's really dirty, but it's really pretty.
Well, it's dirty, but I read it differently.
How'd you read it?
Well, I just read it as an actual rainbow, being reflected in the water in a car, just goes through it.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking, you know, is that I never was very good at reading poetry. And so I always wondered, am I reading it wrong?
Uh-huh.
Is this what it means? And then I'd give up, not sure what it means.
Yes,
I don't know. You know, just the whole notion of running over rainbows
yeah.
kind of mean.
Yeah.
Too, or, you know.
Yeah.
Those are your dreams, and of course that's what follows if the dreams you have are better left unseen.
Right. Yeah. But then also kind of the positive that you don't know what it is. Like, you don't know, you know, maybe it's taking you somewhere else. You know, maybe there's something, maybe your dreams aren't what you thought they were, but, you know, maybe you're closer to something better or, yeah. That, you know, because the song was kind of written in a time where I was feeling more isolated, or, you know, just kind of feeling like what I thought was my life was just not what it, you know, what's becoming. And so, again, maybe it's trying to cheer myself up and say it's okay.
Well, your life seems to be becoming. You said you're not married that long. Decatur is still a pretty new town for you.
Yeah, new frontier.
A new frontier. And you've got a musical coming out, children's
yeah.
music coming out. Pugly the Ugly Duck. Hopefully people will actually see that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Somewhere or another. Yeah. Your children's theater.
I hope to see it sometime.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. And hopefully we'll see your next CD with or without the present songs on.
Yeah.
So it
yeah,
could
we'll
end
see.
Up being all new.
It might be something totally different.
Or another EP or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, another. I'll just keep putting out those EPs or whatever the 7-track is.
Put out the songs, and when it's time to put them out to the public there, they'll
yeah.
be.
It doesn't really have much relevance these days anyway. So.
Kristen Nelson can be found at kristennelson.bandcamp.com or what was the other site you said?
Kristen's Music Box.
Kristen's Music Box.
Yeah.
.com, and you can get a link to that CD and enjoy the music again for yourself. Thanks very much for coming on Live and Local.
Thank you so much.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and here are a few other things you can go see and hear live in our listening area, including now reading the press release from Decatur Celebration. It's a bit confusing here. Their kickoff concert with Here Come the Mummies is sometime tonight at Lincoln Square Theater, and it doesn't say here what time that is, so you can look that up somewhere. At the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana, they're putting on Freud's Last Session. That's tonight through Saturday at 8 o'clock. Singer-songwriter Megan Johns is at Houlihan's in Champaign this evening at 7 o'clock. The Illinois Chamber Music Festival continues with music by Mozart, Paul Schoenfield, and Dvorak at Westbrook Auditorium on the Illinois Wesleyan University campus in Bloomington. That concert is at 7:30, a faculty concert. The Hen House Prowlers play bluegrass at Allerton Park in Monticello tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, and they'll be my guests on tomorrow's Live and Local, as will some singers coming back from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan to preview their present show, which is Monty Python's Spamalot, so that should be fun. The Hoagland Center in Springfield is presenting the comedy Bleacher Bums tomorrow at 2 and 8 o'clock, same schedule for Saturday and Sunday. And it's the Downtown Danville Summer Concert Series with Alex Jenkins and the Blues Bombers Band and many more at Temple Plaza in Danville. That starts tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Sympathy Jones, the new Secret Agent musical, is put on by Tri-County Players Youth Production and Paxton Market Theater in Paxton. 7:30 tomorrow and Saturday with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR. It's 5 o'clock.